We're going to start off in 2 Peter this evening. Now, this is not our new book. We're going to have one final message in 1 Peter, but we're going to start off in 2 Peter and then bounce back into 1 Peter. I know we do still have the idea of the husband's responsibility to the wife. We're going to do that on a Sunday night. This past Sunday, we looked at the wife being strong in the home and the wife's responsibility there. 2 Peter chapter number 1 tonight. We began the series talking about how they're going to the early church, which is in the first century, after Jesus Christ had passed away, the impact he had made, the masses of people that had been saved, and this first century church that was illegal to be called a Christian, and illegal to serve Jesus Christ, and be illegal to go to church and things like that under certain Caesars. And during this time period, the Holy Spirit of God speaks to Peter, and Peter, I think, dictates the message as Silas writes out this message and gets a great book of the Bible. And tonight what we're going to talk about is being strong in remembrance, being strong in remembrance. I know that sometimes we struggle with remembering things. I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget some of the most simple things. It's amazing some of the things you can remember, you know, unwanted knowledge or just knowledge that really doesn't matter, but the things that really count, like your wife's birthday or your anniversary day, you know, you forget those things sometimes. But remembrance. Peter writes a great book under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and the Lord just led me to go through and just pick out some things to help us remember certain things. There was so much that we've learned in these last number of months that I think it'd be good for us to just go back and hit some of the highlights and just remembering them. I enjoyed reading through 1 Peter a number of times here just to get the certain points and to use some of the things, to look at some of the different things that God worked in my heart. And it was hard to kind of narrow some of the things down, but I think it's important that we remember things. You think remembrance, there are certain things that we should never forget. I mentioned your anniversary date. You shouldn't forget that. You shouldn't forget, your mate's birth date. There's a lot of things you shouldn't forget. But spiritually, I think, you know, there's some things that we should always keep on our mind. First thing I think about is this. Now, this isn't in the First Peter per se, but just to try to help you with the beginning entrances. I think we should never forget where we came from. Now, I'm not talking about Elkton, Maryland. I mean, I remember that's where I grew up. That's where I was born. A little town called Elkton has grown a little bit. It's a little bit bigger than Elizabeth City. They have more than just Walmart and a couple shops. They have more things. The town the size here is the size Elkton was when I was a kid. And I like the size community. Where we came from spiritually. What we were before Christ saved us. I think we should remember that. I think we should remember what we were, where we were going, what we could end up being if it was not for Jesus Christ. I think if we keep that in our memories, that's going to change the way we live our lives. If we will remember that, hey, I was lost, I was dying, I was going to hell, I had no hope, I was in darkness. I had no choice but to sin and continually to sin. I was under the bondage of the devil and under the bondage of sin. And then someone showed me Jesus Christ and someone showed me the gospel and the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ sprang in and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I think if we will remember what we were and where we were going and what we may be today if we did not have Jesus Christ, I think if we remember that, that's going to help us a lot. There's a lot of things we're not going to feel so worried about and so disappointed about. There's not so many times when we say, well, I wish I had this or I wish I had that. If I would just remember what Jesus Christ and what God has done for me, remembering that will answer a lot of the little issues that we get held up on sometimes. Another thing I think we need to always remember is that with God we can handle all things. And we're going to touch on this in 1 Peter because what was this written to? It was written to a church that was facing persecutions and was facing trials, and being strong during trials was the whole intention that Peter was writing this book to these Jews and these Christians that were facing trials and facing persecutions, facing different things in their lives. And he's saying, look, remember these things. Be strong here. You can do this. You can do this. And I know that sometimes people say, well, we're not underneath that much persecution or that much trial today. Try living for God. If you live for God, you know what? The trials are going to sometimes mount up. The persecution or the hardships. Maybe even if we don't face whether or not we die or not for being a Christian, there's a lot of things that we face today. And a lot of things that we go across today. And a lot of issues that we come up with today. And when we read this book, we can put ourselves in the exact same spot and say, you know what? This is a trial I'm going through. This hurts. This hurts really bad. But with God, I can take care of it. I don't know which phrase you like better. My favorite phrase when I'm thinking about the things that are, I'm struggling and there are hardships going on, I remember that God's grace is sufficient. Like I said, there's other phrases, you know, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Remembering that helps you get through some. And some others, it may be something like, that God's not going to give us more than we can handle as long as we have Him. You know, as long as He's with us, He'll never give us anything that's above what we can handle. These things are things we need to remember because I tell you, we are going to face times and hardships. When we have people raise their hand and say, look, I got a very special unspoken. Look, I'm going through something. There's something there. This is something we need to remember. Never forget that we can handle all things with God. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I know that some of us are facing hardships and hard times. And if we want to remember something, remember what we were before we got saved and what we're going to be and where we be without Christ. But also remember this, you can handle all things with God's help. You think about it, if God was willing to help you with your sin problem, He didn't run away, He didn't turn away from your sin problem. He was willing to be put on the cross. He was willing to be whipped. He was willing to be hung on a tree. Do you not think He's going to help you with your problems that are here today? If He can help you out with your greatest need, your sin problem, He can definitely help you out with whatever you're going through today. Another thing I always think is important to remember as a Christian is we will stand before God someday. You know, if you take these three things, remember what we were before Christ saved us or what Christ saved us from. Remember if we can handle all things with God's help. Remember we will stand before God someday. And there's a couple things that helps me remember that. I remember the verse in the Bible when I was doing my study. I looked up the word remember, looked up the word remembrance. And I was going through all the different spots and one stuck out to me. Remember Lot's wife. What are you supposed to remember about Lot's wife? And there's a lot of different things you can bring, lots of different messages, but there's judgment. I mean, that's what, someday we will stand before God, and I don't think we remember that. We act too casually when it comes to spiritual things, and if we will remember that judgment is coming someday, it will change the way we live our lives. He's like, well, Pastor, am I supposed to walk around in fear? The Bible says we're supposed to fear the Lord. We're supposed to respect Him. We're supposed to love Him to the point that we do not want to disappoint Him and that we were going to live our lives and remembering that who He is and remembering what He should mean to us. So there is a fear. Now, I'm not talking about the fear that if you mess up, God's going to throw the lightning bolt down. No, I'm talking more about the fear that you have such an adoration and a love for your Savior that you don't want to do anything to disappoint Him. That's how much respect you have for Him. You ever disappointed someone you loved? Someone you really looked up to, someone who you wouldn't do anything in the world to hurt them, and you did something dumb or done something stupid. Sometimes you didn't even realize it, and they look at you and says, I was hurt when you did that. And that breaks our hearts. I tell you, but that's the way we're supposed to be considered looking at God, I think. As much love and admiration we should have for Him, and He deserves nothing but to be adored. And He came to this world and died for us. And then you think, I don't want to disappoint Him. If we remember those things, that's going to help us. Here we come to 2 Peter chapter number 1. And I look here in verses 12 and 13. Peter is writing his second epistle to the similar group of people. This would have been read to the same different church members and different churches that were the first one. Obviously, some of these people might not have been here the second time around because they might have lost their lives, might have moved to other churches. Verse number 12 says, wherefore, I will not be negligent. Peter is saying, look, I am not going to miss this. He says, if there's anything I can do, there's something I'm not going to be negligent about. There is something I'm going to be very careful to do. And see what it says. To put you always in remembrance of these things. Now, when I think about that, sometimes people say, well, when a preacher gets up and preaches a message that we've heard before, he just didn't put the effort or work and time into writing another message. That's not it at all. We need to be reminded of things. I mean, how many of us really applied what we heard on Sunday? I mean, how many of us took it home and said, you know what? I can do all things through Christ. I'm going to change the way I live my life. And how many of us thought about how God meant it for good and how we were willing to forgive others and have the right type of spirit or in our families when we talk about the wives? How many of us really changed what we were going to do and what we were on Sunday to today? Now, some of us did. Hopefully, that's the reason why we preach, is so people will remember and will respond to it. But many times we need to hear the same thing. And you hear it over and over as a reminder, but also to help us remember, hey, look, there's something we need to change here. But that's what Peter's saying here. He says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you to always to remembrance of these things, though ye know them. He says, look, I know you know these things, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, he's saying, as long as I'm in this body, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And that's what my goal tonight is. We're going to hit through a lot of things in 1 Peter. We're going to go through them very quickly. But just to stir you up in remembrance of some of the things we learned about, some of the main things we learned about. And as we go through this, I think it could be a help to you if you take these things, you can write them down, or you can just listen and remind yourself, I remember about that. First thing I want you to do is we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter number 4. After this point, we're going to actually go through from the beginning to the end. We're going to hit different verses. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, there's a little phrase there that I did not bring out when we were going through the series. But there's a little phrase here I think that can help us that why we need to remember. Here, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12, the Bible says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partaker of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now, this is how we're supposed to look at trials. It says in verse number 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Now, see the reward if we respond right to the trials and the tribulations and the fiery trials that we go through. It says the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Now, verse 15, he begins to say, you're not supposed to suffer as this. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any of you suffer, in that next phrase, as a Christian. Now, see, up there he's saying, look, if you're going to suffer for being a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or some type of sin, that's your own fault. He says, but if you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So tonight, as we go through these things, I want you to remember. I want you to kind of write, and it says, as a Christian, I should be doing this, and whatever the things that we learn. As a Christian, as a Christian, as a Christian. Because that's what this church was. Now, he's a Christian. Some people use that name today, and some people think, well, that's a great name. Some people even raise their hand, I'm a Christian. If it's going to get them something, they're willing to call themselves a Christian. If they want to be grouped together with a certain group of people or a certain mind thinking, well, I'm a Christian. But see, it wasn't that way back then. To be called a Christian back then was a thing of reproach. Now, 30 or 40 or 50 years ago in America, to be called a Christian was something that was probably held in a completely different view than is held today by many people. But as a Christian meant something back then. And their name, Christian, was cause for reproach. Let's look at these. We have about, I think, 12 or 13 of them, and we'll go through them, like I said, very quickly, but just to help remind us. And maybe the Lord will speak and grab your heart about some of these, but write these down as if you like to. 1 Peter chapter number 1. As a Christian, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. As a Christian, you have a lively hope, or a lively hope. Another word of putting is a living hope, because of the resurrection. As a Christian, you have a lively hope because of the resurrection. It says in 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again." I remember us preaching about being begotten again unto a living or lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, I want you to understand this is an exciting point is, you know what? We have hope. Because Jesus Christ has rose from the dead, we have a living hope, a lively hope that's unlike anybody else, unlike any other religion, unlike anything that anybody else in the world has. And you know, these other religions, they're prophets and they're gods, all dead and in the graves. We have the only person who had died and that rose again. He conquered death, he conquered grave, he conquered hell, he conquered sin. All at that point in time, we have a lively hope. You know, as a Christian, we need to remember that. You know, sometimes we get discouraged, sometimes we get disappointed, but you know what? We have a lively hope. And we remember that hope, and we talked about how it fadeth not away. You know, it's something that cannot be taken from you. No matter if someone came in your house and we came under and someone took everything away from you, they could not touch that hope that you have. And that's something that as a Christian, that's what we have that no one else has. We need to remember that. And I tell you, because that changes the way we live. I got a lively hope. You can take away this. You can do this to me. But nothing can change the fact that I have this hope. And it talks about how we have an inheritance, verse number 4, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Thankfully, it's up there in heaven. We don't have to worry about it getting messed up down here. We don't have to worry about it getting damaged. We don't have to worry about getting it broken. It's reserved in heaven for us. We have a lively hope. Next thing. I think it's important that as a Christian, we love the Lord Jesus. As a Christian, that we love the Lord Jesus. Look what it says in verse number 8, chapter 1. Whom having not seen, ye love. And whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with him unspeakable and full of joy. And you know, it's the idea is, as a Christian, we should be loving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are other people that we love. We should love our families. We should love our church family. The Bible speaks of how we should even love our enemies, but none of them should compare to our love that we have for Jesus Christ. Think about what the Bible says. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Obviously, Jesus is not saying we should hate our family members. He's saying, if you truly want to be a disciple of mine, the love that you have for me must far exceed all the love you have for anything or anyone else. Look, we got to remember this. As a Christian, not as someone who's unsaved, we can't expect that out of somebody else. Not as someone that is a Muslim or someone who believes the wrong things that are not believers, not Christians today, or atheists. No, no. As a Christian, we should love the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else is going to love him, but we should. Next thing I want you to think about, we need to remember to be holy. Look at verses 15 and 16 in chapter 1. We need to remember to be holy. As a Christian, we are to be holy. It's found right here. It says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy for I am holy." Now, this idea, this word, what holiness is, and we talked a little bit about this, and I remember going all the way back and thinking about how we talked about holiness and what it really truly is. It affects every area of our life. Holiness doesn't mean, hey, I got my dress standards right, and because I got my dress standards right, I'm holy. You can be wicked and still dress right. You can have a wrong, dark heart and still dress in a nice manner. That's not what holiness is all about. Now, if our heart is right, we are going to dress right. If our heart is right, we are going to be around the right people and do the right thing and have the right standards. But true holiness will affect every area of our life. And it will show in every area of our life. It will come down to our attitudes and our words and what's in here. And once again, and that will be displayed. And don't get me wrong. I think we should have strong standards. I think we should have high standards. And we should learn why we have them. We should get them from the Word of God and let nothing change that. But at the same time, outward things does not make us holy. It's what we are inwardly. Another thing that I think we need to remember as a Christian, we need to be holy. But as a Christian, we need to love the brethren. As a Christian, we need to love the brethren. Look what it says in verse 22. As a Christian, we need to love the brethren. Verse 22 in chapter 1, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. Now look at this. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now, that does not say we're going to just put up with someone, does it? It says we're going to love them, and we're going to love them with a pure heart, and we're going to do it fervently. And I remember going back over this and understanding that not everybody is really going to like one another. Some people are going to have different opinions. Some people are going to have different interests. Some people are going to have different hobbies. And some people are going to be from different areas. But, you know, the common thing we have is Jesus Christ, and we can love one another, and we can yoke up together to work together to do a work for Jesus Christ. We can have a fervent love for maybe one person who enjoys one thing and another person who might enjoy something else. We can still have a love for one another because we have Jesus Christ in common. Now, does that mean I'm going to go out and spend time with a person that I particularly don't like that much? Maybe not. But at the same time, I can still love them. I have Jesus Christ in common. We have something that's more important that cannot be taken away than our own interests and our own desires and our own personalities. We can love them. I remember talking about how with Buzz Sawyer that night, saying that Buzz Sawyer says he loves everybody at our church. I said, he says he likes everybody at our church. And says, Mr. Sawyer, I don't even like everybody at our church. And I was joking. I was joking with him. I said, I don't even like everybody at our church. I says, I have to love them, but I don't have to like them. And he smiled really big. He says, you know, I like everybody at our church. I like some more than others, but I like everybody at our church. And but the reality is, there are different personalities and different things, what the Bible teaches us. And what does it say? The Bible says that you love one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And it even talks about how are they going to know that we're his disciples. It talks about that we're going to love one another, that how we treat one another. That's going to show people that we're a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about here. As a Christian, we're supposed to love the brother. As a Christian, we're supposed to abstain from fleshly lusts. Look what it says in chapter 2, verse number 11. Chapter 2, verse number 11. It says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. As a Christian, we are to abstain from fleshly lusts. There are things that we are just not supposed to do. What are you supposed to do with alcohol? Abstain from it. What are you supposed to do with pornography? Abstain from it. What are you supposed to do with things that your flesh cries out for, the Bible says no to? Abstain from it. It's just simply put, as a Christian, there are certain things I should abstain from. There are certain things I should just say no, I want nothing to do with that. Let's look here. Next thing is, as a Christian, we should have good works. Look what it says in verse number 12, having your conversation, talking about the way we live our lives, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, even the people who talk bad about you, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. I find this verse really interesting because you're saying, hey, they're talking bad about the Christians. They're talking bad about your church. Now, what are they going to do? Are you going to go do your good work somewhere else where they're not going to see? Are you not going to demonstrate your good works to them also? Are you not going to show kindness and love to them? How are they going to behold it unless you do it towards them or around them? And that's what the Bible is saying here. We should, as a Christian, demonstrate good works even to those that cause us the evildoers. I don't really like that part. But they should behold her evil. The people that are, and what happens in the end? It says, glorify God in the day of visitation. How are they going to do that? When someone else beholds your good work. When someone, when you love your enemy. When you pray for them that despitefully use you. Yeah, that's when they're going to see it. This is as a Christian. And once again, this is not somebody for every Joe on the street. It's for, as a Christian, we should do good works. As a Christian, we should live under authority. As a Christian, we should live under authority. Once again, this is another one of those things that let's be honest, we all like to have our own way. There's probably a little bit of anarchy in all of us. Our flesh says, I'm right, everybody else is wrong. We have just learned how to live sometimes in a rebellious state that, yeah, I'm going to do it this way, but I know I'm right and they're wrong. The Bible even tells us all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. And we need to live under authority. In verses 13 and 14, submit yourselves to every ordinance. Now, this is really, really, really hard to do today in the day and time we live at. Now, put yourself back in 100 AD. when Nero is trying to kill the Christians and say, okay, I need to put myself under every ordinance. He says, well, Pastor, does that mean they can't be a Christian? Remember, we must obey God rather than man. But there is a lot of laws back there, I'm sure, that they did not like to follow after and carry after. And it says here, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That's the key there. We're doing it for the Lord's sake. We ain't doing it for King Nero's sake. We ain't doing it for President Obama's sake. We aren't doing it for, our wicked politician's sake. You know what we're doing it for? For the Lord's sake. Whether it be the king to the king as supreme or unto governors or as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Why do we do it? As a Christian, we need to live under authority. We need to do it for the Lord's sake. Remember, as a Christian, wives, you're supposed to be in subjection to your husband. Look at chapter 3, verse number 1. Wives, as a Christian, you're supposed to be in subjection to your husband. It says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband. We spent a lot of time on that on Sunday night. We're not going to belabor the point except to remind you that Jesus Christ was the example. Does not make you any less of an individual or a human, just as it did not make Jesus Christ any less God when he was willing to submit himself to the Father and to the Father's plan. This is all about how God has designed the home and has designed the way, the making of the home and the authority of the home and things like that. As a Christian's husbands, honor your wife. It says in verse number 7, chapter 3. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Now, we're going to talk about that in a few weeks on a Sunday night, but we need to honor our wives. And this word honor is a beautiful word. It talks about having a cherished position. We treat our wives because we first cherish them, and then that's how we treat them. I tell you, we're going to take good care of the things that we love. We're going to take good care of the things that we love. I know some of us have hobbies. Maybe you have a favorite gun, or maybe you have a favorite car, or you have a favorite this or a favorite that. And sometimes I've seen people's hobbies be polished and everything looking beautiful and this and that. It's because you cherish that piece of furniture or things. And the Bible says that we should have a cherish our wives. Next thing, as a Christian, we need to be praying people. As a Christian, we need to be praying people. Look what it says in 1 Peter 3:12. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The Christian life is a prayer life. I believe our prayer life speaks much about our Christian life. As a Christian, we should be praying. And sometime this late summer, fall, in one of the series, whether Sunday mornings, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we're going to be looking at prayer a little bit more, a little bit closer, because I think it's important that we remember we should pray. Next thing, as a Christian, we should always be ready to give an answer of the hope that is in us. As a Christian, we should always be ready to give an answer of the hope that's in us. In verse number 15, it says in chapter number 3, and most of you probably know this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You say, Pastor, I don't have many people coming up to me and asking me why I live a certain way. You want to know why? Because they don't behold the good works that we're supposed to be doing to them many times. Now, like I said, I've had people come up to me and say, hey, are you a Christian? There's something a little different about you. Why are you always happy or this? And I mean, that's a great opportunity to be able to give a hope. But, we need to be ready for that. There are certain verses we should have memorized. There are certain verses that we should have memorized in our heart that we should be ready to give a hope, give an answer for the hope that's in us. Next thing, as a Christian, we are going to go through trials. As a Christian, we are going to go through trials. Look at chapter 4, verse number 12. It says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. You know, the truth is we're going to have trials. We're going to face trials. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be some times when we don't got the answers. And this is the thing. You know, God says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But it doesn't always feel that way. Because when the trials go through, we got a choice. We can say, I can carry it, or we can do what chapter 5, verse number 7 says, casting your care upon him. But the difference is, when we cast our care upon him, we have to humble ourselves, like it talks in chapter 5, verse number 6. We have to say, Lord, I can't handle this trial. I'm giving this over to you, and I'm letting you take care of it. And which is, what are we doing? We are committing ourselves to the righteous one. So here's the thought is, there will be trials that you face. There will be times when questions come. There will be times when you should not question what God has given you in the light during the dark times. You need to understand that trials and temptations, they are going to come, but you have to be ready for them. And that's why the next thing is, we need to humble ourselves. As Christians, we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Look at chapter 5, verse number 6. As a Christian, we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. It says, chapter 5, verse number 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in time. They say, Pastor, I have no problem giving my trials over to God. Well, see, this is where the humility thing comes into it. This is where the humble thing comes into it. You know, many times, we don't really want to believe that we can't handle our own problems. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. We need to say, Lord, you are in complete control of all this. I cannot do any of it myself. I cannot fix it myself. This is all yours. You can have it. I don't want anything to do with it. You just lead and guide me through it. Isn't that what Joseph had to do? I mean, Joseph, he couldn't do anything about being in Potiphar's house. He couldn't do anything about being in the prison cell. He couldn't do anything about the butler and the baker forgetting about him. You know what he had to do? He had to give it all over to God. Say, Lord, this is yours. I'm going to humble myself under your mighty hand and believe that you are sovereign, believe that you know, and believe that you can work everything together for good. And I am humbling myself under the mighty hand of God, and I'm going to let you exalt me in due time. I'm going to let you do this because I can't do it myself. And that's the next thing is, as a Christian, we need to cast our cares upon the Lord. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Some people would not know what to think about if they could not think about their worries. Now think about that. Some people would not know what to think about if they could not worry because they spend so much time worrying about things. Some people, that occupies their thought life, that occupies their days. What if this happened? What if this happened? What if I'm sick? What if this? And I understand it is easy to be nervous. It is easy to worry. But the Bible tells us to be careful for nothing. And worrying is one of the greatest sins. And it zaps our strength. It zaps our ability from God. Because when we worry, we're not being humble. And then we're not casting our cares upon him. And then what are we doing? We have just put a whole load of stuff on our back that God doesn't want us to carry. Remember, he says, my yoke is easy. He said, my burden is light. Now, how do we get there? Because I want to get there because it's not fun carrying around problems. It's not fun carrying around hardships. It's not fun carrying around things that hurt. That's what God says, cast them over to me. Give them over to me. And remember what we talked about, that casting was a one-time thing, complete and total. I'm not going to keep some of it. I'm just going to throw it on you. Remember how we talked about how the disciples, that word was used when they cast the robes on top of the donkey. They didn't keep part of it. They cast it all on there, and it was there, and was there on purpose. Last but not least, remember that as a Christian, we need to be sober-minded. As a Christian, we need to be sober-minded. Look what it says in verse number 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We need to be sober. We need to be serious-minded. Go ahead and look back in chapter 1 and verse number 13. Chapter 1, verse 13, you have the same word here. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you guys remember this passage of scripture, but we gave this illustration of how back then they had the that word girding, and how they used to have the long flowing robes, and how when they would gird up, they would take the long flowing robe and they would gird it up here to cause them to be able to run better and run faster and run easier. And we talked about how many times we're not serious minded about things, and we're wasting our time with worries, we're wasting our time with entertainment, we're wasting our thought lives and our time with all these other things, and we have all this here that's around us, and it's causing us not to be able to run because we're not being serious minded, and how we need to gird up some things. And we went through and we talked about the different things we need to gird up so we can take off and we can run for the Lord, because it says here that gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. We need to be serious minded. We need to say, okay, that thing should not be wasting my time and wasting my thought life. I'm going to take that. I'm going to gird that up. I'm going to gird up. I think a lot of it was talking about things that we were not faithful with. And there are certain things we just do not need to mess with when it comes to entertainment. There are certain things, like I think we probably mentioned worry, that there are certain things we need to gird up so we can run, because so many Christians today are tripping all over themselves because they do not gird up the loins of their mind, because they are being tripped up by their own sin or weights. Once again, doesn't mean it's all sinful things, but it's slowing us down. So where do we come to? What do we do with this message? I don't know about you, but there's some things I need to remember. I don't want to forget what I was when Jesus saved me, where I could have been today when Jesus saved me, where I was headed. I want to remember that. I want to remember that I can handle anything with God. I will remember some days I need to stand. Someday I'll stand before God. But I don't want to forget the things we learned in 1 Peter either. That I, as a Christian, I have a living hope. As a Christian, I should love the Lord Jesus Christ. As a Christian, I should remember to be holy. As a Christian, I need to love the brethren. As a Christian, I need to abstain from fleshly lusts. As a Christian, I should have good works. As a Christian, I should live under authority. As a Christian wife, I need to be in subjection to my husband. As a Christian husband, I need to honor my wife. As a Christian, I should be a praying people. As a Christian, I should always be ready to give an answer of the hope that's in me. As a Christian, I should expect trials. As a Christian, I should be serious-minded. As a Christian, I should cast all my cares upon God. As a Christian, I should humble myself. That's what a Christian acts like, according to 1 Peter. Is that how we act? We're not there yet. Sometimes when I preach sermons and preach messages, I'm thinking, man, if I could just get all those things right, I'd be doing okay. But I'm growing, I'm learning, and I want to grow to it. Everything I preach, I would be hypocritical if I did not try to live that way. But am I saying I've reached that goal? I got to be like the Apostle Paul saying, I have not apprehended, I have not gotten there. But I'm thankful that God is patient, God is kind, and I want to remember these things. But don't forget, remembering is not enough. We have to apply it. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Remembering it is just not enough. We got to apply these things to our lives too. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation tonight. I pray.